listening to the She Means Profit podcast with Melissa Houston, CPA, business strategist, author of Cash Confident, and a Forbes.com contributor. She Means Profit is a podcast dedicated to helping startup, brick and mortar, and product-based business owners just like you become a master in your business without confusion so that you can increase your profit and make more money. With over 20 years of experience working with business owners, I'm sharing with you real and actionable advice that will give you the tools for business success. Let's make some major money moves together. Diane Welsh is the Hayes Distinguished Professor and Founding Entrepreneurship Director at the University of Carolina, Greensboro. Diane has held 3 endowed chairs and studies family businesses, international entrepreneurship, women-owned businesses, and franchising, and has 8 books with over 120 journal publications as well. She has won 3 Lifetime Achievement Awards, and I'm very happy to have her with us today on She Means Profit. Hi, Diane. Welcome to the She Means Profit podcast. I am so excited to have you with us today.
Thank you for having me, Melissa.
Yeah, it's great. And you want to give listeners a little bit of your background, because your background is quite fascinating.
Thank you, Melissa. Well, I'm Diane Welsh. I hold the Hayes Distinguished Chair in Entrepreneurship. I've owned 3 of my own businesses. I have started 2 entrepreneurship centers and 3 programs. And I believe everything is about doing it and doing it as soon as you can. So I'm really an entrepreneur and believe in that.
That is fantastic. So you're not just an educator in entrepreneurship. You have experienced the ups and downs and everything that goes with it.
Absolutely.
So I know that you feel strongly about how entrepreneurs, and maybe in particular women entrepreneurs, who should be educated, or not necessarily entrepreneurs, but people should be educated about entrepreneurship. Do you want to explain a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think that we talk a lot about entrepreneurial mindset, and how you're raised has a whole lot to do with your mindset. So for instance, if your parents let you play in the sandbox and get dirty and try to explore, that's an early exploration when you're little, like 1 or 2. Or they're like, no, don't get your clothes dirty. Then that would make you less, believe it or not, later on, ability to take risks. You're more afraid of things like that. So entrepreneurial mindset has a lot to do with cognitive, what you're born with, but also those much more, those early experiences and modeling. When we talk about skill set, that is something that we actually in universities and in other venues give you the skill set to be able to be successful. So it takes the mindset with the skill set to really make a difference.
That's so interesting. Do you think that mindset can be changed?
Absolutely. Mindset can be changed. It can be learned. And so it's not just something that has to stay the same with you. So your mindset, the more you explore, the more you have opportunities. And one of the greatest ways is to model with an entrepreneur that's out there, to really shadow them, follow them. And that's one way to do that. But there's also other things like going to events where you meet other entrepreneurs, listening to podcasts, for instance, what's involved in that. So you can also change that in yourself.
What do you think are the qualities that most people possess to make them a more successful entrepreneur?
Well, first of all, to be an entrepreneur, you really got to get out there and do it. And many, many times I hear people say, well, I had this great idea and now I'm looking and people are making millions off it. Well, the difference is they started and you didn't. And so just do it. There's never going to be a perfect time to start a business. There's never going to be a perfect time to start calling yourself an entrepreneur until you actually start doing it. And so that's one quality. The second quality is, and this is going back to 20 years ago when they did surveys, and today, the number one reason people start businesses is to make a difference. Sure, the money part of it or the social difference is huge, But that number one reason people start a business is to make a difference. So they've really got to have it in their heart and soul. And number three is they've got to listen to themselves and believe in themselves, because there's a lot of doubters out there. So that's very important. And number four, I'd say to have a good feasibility and business plan. Feasibility is when we take an idea to opportunity and we really look at what's involved in that business financially, what's your competition, all the different elements of it. Then you go to the business plan, and that's where you take from idea to opportunity, opportunity to action. And so the business plan is sort of the second part of that. A lot of entrepreneurs I see will say, I know this is going to work. I believe in my idea or on my business model. They go straight to the business plan, and then they don't know why it failed. And what we know is about 40% of businesses that start, that just do a business plan, fail because they haven't done that first part. Is it an idea or is it an opportunity? We all want to invest in opportunities. So we only have so much money. We have only have so much time. So we want to make sure that first part is done before we go to the business plan. And many entrepreneurs go straight to the business plan. I know this is going to work. It's my idea. I have great ideas. And then the business fails. And they don't always know why. So yeah, it's really important to do those steps.
To prove your idea.
Yes.
Yeah. I love that. And I often say, you can have the best business idea, but if you don't have all the parts going together, then it's just not going to take off. When I talk with entrepreneurs and my coaching clients and stuff, and here on She Means Profit, we talk a lot about the business financial management part as well. Now, would you say that having your business finances is definitely key to creating a successful business?
Absolutely. 95% of businesses fail because of cash flow. Yeah. So I often say, just think about whatever it takes to start that business, what you think it will cost when you put it down on paper, add a third. And in my experience over 40 years, that's exactly about pretty accurate. So It's just think about it this way. When you go to get your car service, does it cost really what you think it's going to? Maybe it needs another set of tires you didn't realize. It's usually about a third more than you think. If you go on a date, it usually ends up costing more than you think. Lately, if you go to the grocery store, what you think it's going to cost ends up costing a lot more.
Way too much.
Say add a third and you're pretty safe.
Yeah, that's a really good idea. Now, you were telling me that you have written a book. Do you want to share a little bit about that?
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. I've actually written 8 books, but my most current book is Entrepreneurial Family Business. And it really combines the concept of family business with entrepreneurship, which is pretty unusual. But unless family business are entrepreneurial, they won't succeed through generations. And I've got research to show that. I wrote it last year. It's not a textbook. It is written in first person, and it is telling a story of my family business. And my parents created the very first soft-sided luggage in the world back in the early 60s. And that was back in the day when everything was hard-sided luggage. It was like usually aluminum with vinyl over it, and it would pop open on luggage carriers and you couldn't get more into it, and it was heavy. And my dad, first of all, said, you know, we have this sporting goods line with Voigt Division Welsh Sporting Goods. My dad and my uncle bought a company out of bankruptcy. And one of the things they manufactured was earbags made out of 20-ounce canvas. Dad called it duck, but it was a canvas, very heavy cotton product. And in World War One and World War Two, the company made huge earbags for the military to put guns in and tents in and supplies. And the sporting goods manufacturing side of it would produce these gear bags for hunting and fishing and all that. My dad looked at that and said, you know, we could make soft side of luggage out of that. He basically drew some pictures on a piece of paper. I still got the paper, where he made some basic square pieces of luggage, took it to his production manager in Iowa Falls, Iowa, Bob Crosser. And he took it upstairs and they made some basic samples of what this soft side of luggage could look like. It ended up being the very first in the world. My mother dyed the very first samples in our basement, and my mother went on to create the second most popular combination, which at the time was in the early 70s, and it was denim with bright red trim. So it was very popular.
Oh, I love that.
The beginning of soft cider luggage that the world carries.
They were unable
to patent the process because the process wasn't unique, but they created at one point for about 20 years, the National Luggage Association would ask people that worked in luggage stores, because back in the 60s and 70s, everything was in luggage stores and department stores, and you went to a store to buy it, but ask people that worked there, what is the luggage you're carrying? Not what's your favorite, what is the luggage you're carrying? Number one answer for 20 years in a row was Boyt luggage, B-O-Y-T. And so I think that speaks for itself. We had the only money-back guarantee in the industry, and that stands to this day. We would have you send it back, and we would fix it and ship it back to you for free. That's very unusual.
It's funny, because as you're sharing this story, I'm remembering, like, I'm going to age myself here, but as a child, we had those hard luggage, and there was, like, no room. There was no accordion piece to it back in those days, right? And right. The pain was real, like, the luggage would be overstuffed and they'd pop open and the whole bit. And I remember when my mom bought this new soft-sided luggage, it was like, I don't know, it was amazing. It was such an amazing concept back then. I do remember that vividly and loving the product. So that's amazing. Now, with family-based businesses, there must be a lot of fighting, bickering, stuff like that in a family business. Would you agree to that, or is that just a stereotype?
No, that's absolutely correct. And because of the reason that you've got the family, you've got the business, and then you've got the overlap of the family business, the other circle of that is the ownership, which may not be the same as the family or the business. There may be shareholders involved or other investors. And so that whole little circles, how much they overlap with each other is very important in the smooth succession, the smooth operation of a business. So that's part of what you're going to read in Entrepreneurial Family Business. It's a story. It's easy to read. At the end of each chapter, I have lessons learned, both professional as well as personal, because our professional life is intertwined with our personal life. It also has the original financial documents for the business. It goes through how they were innovative in the business, how the employees, the people that worked there, were so much about part of the business. I mean, truly, that made it a success, and the small town that was part of that. And it has some lessons learned for entrepreneurs and family businesses, what not to do, what not to do. And it's got all the original pictures that I had professionally taken of everything about the business. So you go through a business from the beginning, see how it was successful, hear about the succession plan, the good parts and the bad parts, what actually happened. So it's a story, and it's available online. It's an ebook as well as soft-sided from Kendall Hunt Publishing in Dubuque, Iowa. So that's Kendall-Hunt Publishing. Just type in Entrepreneurial Family Business Welsh in your search engine. It'll bring it up. So it's very, very economical. It's $23.10 for an ebook.
Perfect. So, and we will leave the link in the show notes. So if you're listening, go to the show notes and grab a copy there as well.
Perfect. Thank you, Melissa.
Now, generational wealth is a hot topic these days. Do you have any tips for people who really want to start businesses and pass it down through family generations?
I would say do the paperwork, get everything on paper to begin with. One of the things I often see that is a problem with businesses being passed on from one generation to the next is they don't have anything to begin with in writing. And that is a major issue, and that is extremely common. No matter what we try to get out there about family businesses and what to do. But so as the business succeeds, things aren't on paper. And sometimes that causes, when there's money involved, lots of times that causes problems with family businesses. And so
yeah,
very, very important. Who can own it? How can it be passed on? Is it going to be the current stock price that people can buy into? Or is it the historical stock price that the business started out with? That makes a huge major difference in success, because if it's very successful 20 years later, people don't want to sell it for originally what their stock was bought at, for instance, in the business. So things like that, making it very clear who the heirs to the family business are. Oftentimes, we want to really make sure that those non-family business members can benefit in the success and where they are in terms of their career, and that they can be promoted. Also, job descriptions, how people are evaluated, family and non-family, is very important to the success of the business. So that family members don't think they can just walk in and, hey, I'm the new successor, and even though you've worked here for 20 years, sorry, and how all that works. So it's very, very important to look at the long-term success of that business and realize family businesses aren't successful with just the members of the family. As the business grows, there's non-family members there that take an active part, and that they need to keep those really wonderful employees, especially in today's age when employees are hard to keep, and they need to feel like they're vested, that they are rewarded, that they have a future in that business.
I love that. Those are great tips. So this has been an absolutely fantastic conversation. Is there anything that you feel we haven't touched on that you'd really like listeners to be aware of?
I think that I'd like listeners to be aware of the global entrepreneurship opportunities out there. And I've also written a book, also it's on Kendall Hunt Publishing, that's in its fourth edition, Global Entrepreneurship, that covers opportunities for entrepreneurs around the globe. And I also have done a real life case book on global entrepreneurship in its third edition that are true stories about global entrepreneurship businesses that have made it on all parts of the globe. But today's world is a global world. And so don't look at opportunities just in your backyard, but also globally. And you can expand your businesses just with a website. I wouldn't say to start there. I would always say start in your backyard or in your home territory and then expand regionally. But don't overlook opportunities internationally, because they're definitely there.
Yeah, and that's a good point.
Also, realize that the number one thing you always have to do is keep a business sustainable and financially sustainable, economically sustainable. So what's going to take you into the future?
Love that. Okay, so we will leave that link in the show notes. If you're interested in checking out Diane's book, go to the show notes, grab the link, order yourself a copy of the book. And thank you so much, Diane.
Thank you, Melissa, for this opportunity. It's been delightful.
Thank you for listening to the She Means Profit podcast. If you've enjoyed the show, I invite you to hit subscribe and leave an honest review. The more reviews we can get, the more business owners we can help.